Rock Live Podcast. Hey guys, today we had a great conversation. You're going to see the format was a little bit different, so stay tuned all the way through. Man, join the conversation. We love you guys. Here you go. Stay tuned. You know, as you're an adult and have children of my own, you identify areas where maybe, and I can't even say it, like where maybe your parents didn't do as well as you would have liked. Like, is it a difficult realization to even verbalize? Like, because I don't want to say my parents were failures, but like, oh, they missed it here.
Okay, last week I said it this way. My dad only gave me what he knew. He couldn't give me what he didn't know.
Yeah.
In other words, I stopped blaming them, and I started affirming them because all they can give me was that. And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But in my life now, I become more than that. So intentional conversations are a priority for us, for me, for my family. Mm-hmm. But not all families are that way. Well, you're Pastor Joel, you're open about everything. Mm-hmm. It's a learned trait. Yeah. You have to breach tough conversations. I've had 5 of them in less than a month with my family.
Well, I know a big buzzword is emotional health and emotional intelligence are new words that I hear very often, right?
Yes.
EQ and emotional intelligence to things. And I think we all desire that. However, we often overlook that to get there are the difficult conversations. And those are the things that people don't want to.
Okay, so if you're not a person that is not used to be charged emotionally, then how do you do it? Who teaches you? I mean, because the definition of mentoring is a structure partnership of supporting personal growth of an individual or a group of people. Biblically, it's discipleship, mm-hmm. where Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, he said it this way, the apostle Paul was referring, it said, you might have 10,000 instructors, but you're in need of fathers. Mm-hmm. So for me, intentional, emotional mentoring is fathering. Without saying spiritual fathering, because that kind of brings a lot of...
It's kind of a loaded statement, which kind of can...
It's very loaded.
It carries its own... Like,
I remember I made Pastor Jim laugh once. You want to hear a Pastor Jim joke? He was in the back, and there was some guy that he had mentored. And he says, man, Pastor Jim, I bet you fathered a lot of people. And I looked at Pastor Jim, and I said, Pastor Jim, you fathered the whole Inland Empire. Be quiet. Don't say it that way. And I made him laugh. I wasn't saying that he physically fathered, but he was a father to many who looked at him as a father, mentor, coach.
Yeah.
So why would Paul say that? You don't need more teachers. You need more fathers, because I believe now, especially now with the next gen coming up, they're in need of fathers.
Well, let's get into it. Welcome, Rock Life Family Podcast. We're not the Rock Life Family Podcast. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Pastor Antonio here. I'm here with Pastor Joel. Welcome, welcome. And we are having a great conversation today. I'm excited because we're covering a topic I don't know that we've covered on the podcast before, but it is something that many people talk about, many people discuss, and that is the topic of mentorship. Now, Pastor Joel has a special place in my heart because he was a mentor to me before I ever recognized and knew the word, or recognized the need for mentorship and understood the word mentor and what that means. I know the word gets thrown out a lot, especially from those in the up-and-coming generation of wanting mentors, needing mentors, trying to identify whom and how. So that's why I was excited for this conversation. Because not only have you been a mentor to me and to many, you've been a spiritual father to so many, but because you oversee our discipleship ministry and you oversee our restoration ministry, which I would say, and maybe you can correct me, I think you would agree though, that one of the successes of our restoration ministry is the, you know, there's many aspects of the restoration ministry, yeah. but our Breaking Free course, one of the backbones of the Breaking Free course is the mentorship kind of channel.
Yes.
Right. There's mentors there. So maybe kind of give us a background a little bit of your experience with mentoring. Did you have a mentor? Did you identify? And then what got you into maybe becoming a mentor, introducing the mentorship?
Yes. I didn't grow up with a lot of mentors, but I quickly found out as I was getting older, I was in need of them. And a few individual men came into my life that actually helped me on my career track. One helped me to kind of coach me to buy a house, never gave me any money, down payment, didn't give me any financial advice, like save this much money to buy a house. But he was super motivated to motivate me that if I could do it, you could do it. And he charged me, and I ended up buying a house at 22. So, which was a hard thing to do because in my community, everybody lived with mom. Mm-hmm. And I made a decision to God and my future wife, I ain't living with my parents. So that's not necessarily bad. And I know here in California, that has happening a lot because of where we're at and the signs of the times. And it's just very expensive to live here. But it's always a season. But I made a decision that if I'm going to scale up, if I'm going to go after more, then I'm going to need individuals in my life that would talk that language to me and would actually coach me or mentor me. So mentoring now is a buzzword. Coaching is a buzzword. It's a multi-million dollar business. There's professional coaches. I was just sharing with you earlier that there's this financial guru coach. If I pay the guy 30 grand, I could have 7 days with him.
Wow.
He has a coaching class of 200 students, and he fills it up every time. So 200 times 30,000, these guys are big time movers of money. But that's earthly goods. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about and what I've kind of come to understand the value of mentoring is the spiritual side of that, the discipleship model of that, because mentoring is discipling. Mentoring is coaching. Jesus was a mentor to 12. I thought he was Lord. He was, but he was a spiritual father to the fatherless that came, the rogue, the misfits,
yeah.
the band of brothers that didn't have any connection, maybe they had a form of godliness growing up in Judaism, but denied the power. And when Jesus comes in, he picks 12 and says, I'm going to form my spirit in you, and I'm going to form you to be me. And that's discipleship.
Yeah.
But the modern term now is mentorship. I believe in both. I've done it enough to where I know there's fruit of it. When you invest in someone, there is a payoff to it.
Yeah. Well, for topic of conversation, if you could maybe give us a definition of what mentorship is and what it can be, and then maybe some things that it isn't. I know there's a lot of, like anything positive, such as mentorship, it can be abused, and it can be, and then things get abused, and like, that whole mentorship thing, I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know if I subscribe to the notion. So where might people get tricked up? So what is mentorship and what isn't it? What if someone's looking for a mentor, what should they be looking for? What should they keep an eye out from?
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, one of the definitions I have here is mentorship is a partnership for the advent of personal growth for a season of time to find somebody with less experience or less capacity or less insight to develop and foster that individual to enhance their skill set, their development, and boost their confidence and encourage them to their next season. The spiritual definition is discipleship, where Jesus says, go into all the world and disciple everyone. But discipleship is a lifelong process which involves forming Christ in any individual and all individuals around you, because discipleship never ends, as Pastor Dan says, and discipleship is a process of growth in time. There needs to be an investment in an individual, not just high, not just bite. That's not discipleship. That's not mentoring. Oh, I know you. Being an acquaintance with an individual is not, oh, I know that guy, I'm mentoring him. That's not mentorship. Mentorship requires resource, time, effort, energy, impartation of what God has given you to them. Paul said it this way, Timothy, I'm entrusting you, 2 Timothy 2:2, things that you've heard from all of us, trust it to faithful men so you could find other faithful men to entrust. That's mentorship. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. The value of biblical mentorship is you're forming Christ in an individual for a process of growth, development, to hurdle obstacles, difficulties, or even growth in an individual to become something that they don't necessarily they could become. Pastor Jim's definition, you'll only go as far as you're encouraged. Mm-hmm. That's a mentorship language.
Right.
Someone is a mentor is an encourager. Someone is a mentor, like when you brought me up when I seen you and I gave you a Bible and wrote something on it. Evidently, something inside of me said you needed this type of help
right.
to get where you need to be. Now, I won't say you didn't listen to me. But
yeah.
That wasn't what I wasn't looking for a response from you necessarily.
Well, and I think about that because I know I would imagine some of our listeners, you know, sometimes, again, because it is a buzzword, people, oh, man, I need a mentor. They want to identify a mentor. They want to find a mentor and are really quick to formalize this relationship. And I understand that as a pastor, I've had many people over the years that, hey, will you be my mentor? They want to sit down and make a kind of like a formal thing. And then, but I realized what I had with you, I would have not even labeled it that. It was yeah. very organic. It was conversations. It was the definition you gave without a formal title. It was, you're someone I talk to, that I run life decisions with. I get wisdom. I get counsel. I get advice, encouragement, like you mentioned. And there's kind of like that mentor relationship. I would not have even known to identify it or give you the label mentor. So for those who are looking for that, again, I have no problem with the title or making anything formal, but the challenge that I've seen, one, a couple things, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I remember that I think the first time someone came, hey, will you be my mentor? There was a kind of a cool thing on the inside of me that goes, oh, like, well, I want to be a mentor. So I was almost overzealous to try to fill this thing. And I didn't ask questions and I didn't set boundaries because I was just excited that someone would want me to mentor them. Well, it wasn't long before they just kind of were, you know, they maybe ask you a couple questions and then, you know, I didn't know to follow up and they didn't come back. And it was just like, oh, okay, well, there was that. Well, where I find now and what I've learned is if someone approaches me, I often ask like, hey, what does that mean to you?
Right.
Because I think it's important to set a boundary or at least an expectation of what's your meaning. And then now me as a person, as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, what do I have time for? Because then the other part is, and then you're never there enough, right? If you overcommit to someone, this person wants to call you at all hours of the night. They want you to be, if you're not setting these boundaries. So now the conversation switches to what are your expectations? Okay, those are your expectations. I don't know if I can meet them.
Right.
Right, because this is what I can do. This is what you're wanting. We're not on the same page.
Right.
But if you do find someone that's on the same page, then you kind of keep accountable to kind of go along the way.
I say mentoring is a two-way street, meaning if I'm going to add value to your life, you need to be able to receive it and apply it. If you're not applying, if I'm working harder in my mentorship than you are, then there's something wrong with that connection. Maybe you don't want to. Let's just say I said, hey, Antonio, I want you to work on these things. And you come back and you said, oh, I didn't work on them. I'm going to come and tell you, I'm like, well, maybe you don't want a mentor. You don't want a spiritual advisor. You don't want a coach to influence you because I'm going to challenge you in these areas that I see lack in. Mm-hmm. If you don't want it, that's fine. Let's part ways and it's okay. I don't see Jesus wasting time with the 12.
Right.
And for those that came around him that wanted to waste time, wanted a free miracle, free lunch, whatever, he would say, hey, man, be on your way, because that I'm not going to give you. But a formed life, a transformed life, he's all in.
Yep.
So in, I used to waste a lot of time in mentoring until I kind of put the thermometer out and said, how much investment, not do I want to make, mm-hmm. how much do you want to make?
Yeah.
And if you want to make that type of investment, then maybe there's a mutual connection
yeah.
with me mentoring you.
Well, I feel like the most fruit I've seen, this might not be a popular take, but the most fruit I've seen on both sides of the mentoring spectrum, whether I'm being mentored or I'm maybe mentoring someone, have been in those relationships that didn't really have the title, meaning where I was just kind of in their space enough, reaching out to them enough, and they were informally mentoring me through phone calls, through life guidance yeah. and stuff like it, there wasn't the formal title. And in the same way on the other side, where someone that I was mentoring, we never sat down and I'm saying I'm mentoring you. They would come to me. I'd give them feedback. I'd coach them.
Yeah.
They opened up their life enough where I could speak into their life, challenge them. And it wasn't, we never sat down and said, hey, I'm your mentor. But I'm like, oh, wait, you look back, you're like, oh, I mentored that person. Or they address like, oh, yeah, this is Antonio. He's mentored me. And you're like, oh, maybe I have.
Well,
and
see, so,
and I guess what I'm trying to do, Pastor Joel, the reason I bring it up is because I think we mystify it and we make it this big deal. And there is people that will tell you, get a mentor. And it's true. I have no challenge with that. Yeah. That's why we're having this conversation. But then we make the mentor the goal versus
right.
the fruit that you're trying to get from it. Right. And I've heard some really good wisdom when it comes to this. When you're trying to identify, because like, well, then how do we find mentors? I think we're looking at people. I've heard it this way. Anyone that you would want to be a mentor does not have time to mentor you.
Right.
You know, they're busy enough and full enough to mentor you.
That's
so
correct.
In other words, you need to offer, there's a added value that you are bringing. You're not bringing a solution, not a challenge,
right.
not a problem. So in other words, you're getting in their world. Well, what did it take for you to get in their world? Serving with them, right? So the people that probably get around you most are people that are rubbing elbows with you on the front lines of ministry or in life.
Yeah.
Right. And they're around you because they're in battle with you. They're doing life with you. And so they're kind of, in other words, you don't see them as, oh, I got to go mentor them now. They're just kind of getting that feedback because they're in the front lines.
Yeah. Well, that's my contention with the monetization of coaching in one sense, because you could hire me as a coach for $500 an hour and I can coach you. But in this thing called biblical discipleship or biblical mentoring, money wasn't at the table of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Life transformation, kingdom building was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the monetization of adding value to an interest. Let's say you want to be a better video person and you find a mentor to put value in that you pay. I'm not against that. It gets a little funny when it comes to spiritual mentoring because the ulterior motive of
mm-hmm,
money.
Mm-hmm.
If you remove money and just say, I want a bunch of volunteers that have bought into Jesus, that I want to form Christ into them and disciple them to be better mentors, better volunteers, better kingdom builders, then the monetization is sent away and the value of Christ in them to make Jesus big and make kingdom big and make their vision big and what God has for them big, talent, gift, ability, skill, then that's the goal. God, you've assigned me to this young man that I see promise, that you see promise in, and I'm ready to invest in this young man like Timothy, because I know, like Paul knew, Timothy's going to change his world.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be some investment, and that's the dilemma. How much time, energy, and effort do I need to make as an individual giving the mentorship and then receiving? And where it gets goofy is the over demand and the over value. You said your mentoring was going to be X and X and X. And when you don't promise those things and let just it grow organically and let it, okay, I understand you have a girlfriend now. Okay, let me coach you on what relationships look like.
Yes, yes.
You know, okay.
So they're through every season.
Through every season of life, there's going to be an issue with a relationship, or maybe you don't. Hey, I'm your mentor. Why aren't you dating?
Right.
Well, are you afraid of women? Right. Are you afraid of men? What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm your mentor. Let me speak into your life. Is there anything that I need to help you with, pray about, kind of read some scripture to you and affirm this lack in your area?
Right.
You know, because I believe everything good comes in relationship.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much unhealthiness. Like when I was dating, I looked around when I became a Christian, I looked around and I seen all these unhealthy girls. And I told the Lord, I don't want that because I know that's going to take me during to a deep, dark road. So I needed a mentor to come alongside of me when I found Joanna, that said, that's the right one. Hey, this is what you need to do. Take her out on a date and coach me to that process of a relationship. That mentor actually was in my wedding.
Right.
The one that...
And you never... There wasn't a, you're my mentor. It was just...
Well, I didn't put a label or tag on him.
Let me ask you this question, because I'm assuming watchers, listeners kind of have this next question. Does everyone need a mentor, or what? What's the kind of bottom line or the takeaway? Because like, what if someone's like, "Oh, I don't have a mentor, and I can't think of anybody in my life." What, where does someone go? What is it?
And for that, to answer that, I'll change the language. Not everybody needs a mentor, but everybody needs to be discipled.
Oh, that's good. That's a bar, right?
Okay. Not everybody needs a mentor, but everybody needs a disciple. What does that mean? Someone needs to come alongside of somebody to form Christ in them more effectively, whether it's Timothy, whether it's Priscilla or Aquila or Apollos. As a matter of fact, the text says it, that Priscilla and Aquila came to Apollos and they said, I see your sharp tongue, you're witty, and you're good at communicating, but you're teaching it the wrong way. The Bible says, let me teach you the right way. And Apollos became a weapon in God's kingdom because of mentorship.
Right.
Priscilla and Aquila came alongside of him.
He could have got offended.
Could have got offended. Say, I'm going to take my ministry, go home.
Look,
I have
I'm
the
good.
Chops.
I know I'm good.
I'm good. I could go beat up on the Greeks. I have the silver tongue. I have the talent, the ability. But without Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos would have never gained the ground that he did historically, biblically. That's in the text.
Yeah.
But I believe it's not just for men. It's for women too. Look at the charge of Titus. It says this in Titus chapter 2, verses 4. Older women must train younger women to love their husbands and their children. That's mentoring. That's biblical mentoring. Without title, without position, without monetization. Hey, I see you have little kids. Let me come alongside of you because I had little kids and this is what I did. This was feeding time. This was nap time. This was diet. This was care.
Yeah.
So you don't go crazy like I did.
Yeah.
Let me come alongside of you and help you with your challenge, your little kids. So when I see those kind of things, that makes me happy because it actually fulfills the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Go into all the world. Let's not over-spiritualize this. There's an obligation from us, Pastor Antonio, to form Christ in everybody. That's biblical discipleship. But I don't need to say I'm a disciple to disciple. I don't need to say I'm a mentor to mentor. I just need love. I need compassion and a vision and time. And if I could do that, if I could do that, enough time, then I will see the fruit of what my mentorship and discipleship meant to people.
You know what? And I think as you say that, that really stands out. I think the key word here is not mentoring for the sake of mentoring. It's fruit. You know, it's kind of like there's the pruning. We can't prune ourselves, right? And so when we invite someone into our lives that will prune and shape and mold. Now, of course, as I say that, I realize, yes, we can get in the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to identify and convict us and bring some things to us. But having someone that it can be there to prune I believe can speed up the process.
Well, we can spiritualize it and say, I just need Jesus to do that.
Yes.
But Jesus uses people.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus uses men.
Yes.
And women. So the ultimate goal of mentorship or discipleship is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So when I stand up before heaven, I'm not going to have a list of all the people I've mentored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have one question only. What did you do with what I gave you?
Yeah.
Where did you invest it? Where's your fruit of that investment? And did you take that investment seriously?
That's so good.
Parable of the tares and the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
There is an obligation in every one of us, especially in the land of fatherlessness that we see in our culture. If I'm not stepping up to be a spiritual father, mentor, discipler, then I'm lacking addressing the problem of the signs of the times.
Yeah.
Fatherlessness is at an all-time high. Men and women without true fathers and mothers are running rampant. They're filling up our prisons.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over our prisons. They're all over our churches. It isn't me that I've done this enough times. It doesn't take me a long time to find somebody.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere. If people want it, they're receptive. Beautiful story. Can I share that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It.
Here on campus, someone walked into the courtyard. I don't know what event we were doing. We're doing a courtyard event. Forgot what it was. And he goes, let me introduce myself. This guy happened to be from Bethel. I didn't know who he was. Never seen him before. And he says, I want to shake your hand. And without even asking, like, okay, why? Who are you? Why do you want to shake my hand? I took out my hand and he shook and he says, you're a spiritual father. Thank you for being one. And he walked away and disappeared. I don't know who that guy was, but he saw something on me. Okay, so I feel obligated to God that if I have that on me, then I best be mentoring, that I best be discipling and busy in doing what God wants me to do. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not credential. It's purpose.
Yeah.
It's forming disciples to be really better than I ever could be. The heart of the mentor is to form somebody and to give something to somebody something you never had, and form in their life a spiritual transformation so beautiful and wonderful that when they grow up in their new season or whatever it is, you say to God, wow, look at what that man and look at what that woman become.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe there's enough of that dynamic. There's a lot of preaching. There's a lot of podcasting. There's a lot of head, understanding. But, hey, I want to invest a few hours in you.
Yeah.
I got 1,000 hours that I want to give away.
Right.
Who's here to sign that up? Right now, the next gen is hungry for it. Why? When I talk to them, that's what they say.
Well, I want to do this. This is a little bit different. We haven't really done this before, but hey, we're in the room with a couple of young people right now, both of which are kind of coming out of different seasons or in transitions of life, like many young people are. My brother Ethan here just finished his college degree and is kind of going into what his field looks like and what does that look like in life. And Aaron, who we had on the podcast last week, is working still in our video department, but also now leading our young adults. What are some either apprehensions or things that you guys desire? Just yell your questions out. I'll probably sell them out, and then maybe we can ask you, Pastor. Because while it's fresh, right? Just kind of
well,
like, what are some of the...
Both of them are not married.
Right.
Okay.
What is something that you would either desire in a mentor? What are apprehensions of trying to identify mentors in your life? Do you guys currently have mentors in your life? How have you found them?
Spiritual specifically?
Not even spiritual. It could be...
It could be...
Because again, I know you're coming out of professionally, right? It's the same kind of concept. Can I say your field?
Yeah.
Right. So I know you graduated in film, right? In production aspect.
And you're talking to?
I'm talking to Ethan.
Okay.
And so Ethan's kind of coming out with his degree in film. So obviously I would imagine in that industry, a mentor is important to kind of guide you and professionally, so to speak. Is that been something you've had a challenge doing, desire to do?
Yeah. So
you know, just come on, pop over here. Come pop. I don't see the pop over here by Pastor Joel. We'll just throw this mic over here because you know, hey, who knows? Pastor Dan's not here. It's on, always wild.
On the fly.
Yeah.
So,
you got a radio voice, bro.
I apologize. I'll sit a little further away. At my school, they have. Wait, I went to Biola, and they had like a certain type of class. That was like, I can't remember what it's called. I think it was called a directed research. Is what it was called, and it was basically just once a week you'd meet with a professor, and if they're doing the directed research class, and then they would just basically just mentor you through whatever you wanted to study. So you pick some sort of, like you're saying, like you pick the fruit of what you would want to have at the end of that class, and then do that.
So would they challenge you? Would they test you? How did that work?
Yeah, so I think it was very much just kind of how you, the first class would be you would just sit there and talk through it, but I never got to do it because I switched late. So that... All that to say that
you didn't have one.
It was set up for me, but I never actually got to be able to do it.
So your heart's cry is to have one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
When
what value do you think you could have got if you had that?
So one, I guess another thing is I don't have like a very specific kind of direction in film right now. And I think that's, I don't know if that's something that I would need a. Sorry.
No, there's a point there. So the direction, right? You caught that. You know, but when you're a little bit more ambiguous, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to identify mentors in our life. So let's take it back spiritually. There's nothing wrong with other types of mentors, but for the sake of our conversation, so someone listening, you have to have a vision of what it is that you want to do. Because you can't have a mentor for marriage if you want to be single. you get what I'm saying? Like you have to identify a specific thing, catch a vision in your own life. And I think the Holy Spirit could help you identify.
It's the need.
Yes.
He had a need to be formed in that area. And he had a coach that was willing to form him.
Right.
His dilemma was he never got to have that coach.
Yeah.
And he's saying, maybe that would have helped form me or discipline me a little bit more in this area of what I wanted to go after. And that's what mentoring and discipling actually solves.
Right. Well, we're going to pray and believe that Ethan will find a mentor in that field for that specific thing, and that the Holy Spirit would guide you. Well, what about you, Aaron? You want to pop over here? I know you're kind of behind. They're going to switch out. Look at them taking care of first things first. See, that's another lesson right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get excited and we jump into things, but we don't take care of the thing. They knew their job was kind of the camera work.
Well, they didn't know they were
going to. They didn't know they were going to do this. So before they just jumped over, they held down the fort and they were good stewards of their assignment. And they're making sure this gets taken care of. And I think many young people do that. They jump at an opportunity, leaving what's in their hand and just throwing it down on the ground. Whereas, again, this wasn't even supposed to be that. But before they rushed into an opportunity, quote, opportunity, to get on a mic.
Well, that's where they find themselves in trouble.
Yes, that's good.
That is good. Yeah, what's the question we got here?
So question, mentoring. Do you have them? Do you feel you need to have them? And why? And who has in the past, besides your dad? I know your dad is a great father, but that doesn't translate necessarily to be the end all to what you need.
Right. Yeah. There has been people in my life. And I think I've really been intentional to get around people that are doing things. Cause I don't want to be a person who just going through motions, but I'm looking, what can I get from this moment that I'm in with someone? So I've been ministry locally and outside, and I've been in places where God has done incredible things, and it hasn't been so formal, but it's been, hey, this is the model and let me look up to that. And so, but at the same time, there's this other part of me that, there is these wants to say, hey, I need someone to help bring some direction. Cause it goes back to Ethan's thing. There's things where, and I think even with the role of leading young adults and leadership now and trying to figure out, you know, I'm a young adult myself, the end latter years, 27 now, but there's still things that I'm not at a level of saying, hey, I need these, I haven't obtained this yet, but yet there's this responsibility to steward others and the desires to steward others well. But sometimes the direction is, how do I do it well if I don't know what exactly that looks like?
That's very, very good. And I got some tips for you, but let mm-hmm. me ask you this. And I don't expect you to be asking you, because you're next gen, mm-hmm. to be having the answers to what all next gen is. Just like yeah. I'm Latino, I don't have the answers to every Latino. There's millions of them globally.
Right.
I don't have the answer to all of them.
Yeah.
I have the answer for a few. But in your gen, what do you notice of the areas of lack of mentoring that they could benefit if they had a mentor?
Yeah, great question. I think a few things are calling the gifts out in people. People don't know what they carry. And so I think people really need to help identify that. Pastor Jess last night in our midweek service is talking about word curses that are spoken over people's lives, and people come in agreement with those, and they need mentorship to say, hey, this is not what you might be going through a season right now, but that's not where you're at. That's not who you are. And so I think people need help with, I think, identity. I think in Gen Z and in younger generations, there is really an identity, I won't necessarily say crisis, but a really, there needs to be more eyes on it, because there is a lot of people who have, I think with young men don't really know what it looks like to what it means to be a godly man in a generation, I think, as a whole. I think sexuality is huge. I think a lot of people, there's real things that in young adults I'm coming across that people go through, but there's no outlet for them to express what they're feeling, going through, or their struggles. And so people need help with that. And I think practicalities, I think things like financial. Okay, how do I move out of a parent's home? How do I do these things? How do I become, you know, the husband or the dad I need to be? And so I think those are three big ones there. And then I think on a spiritual aspect, I think just accountability is what our generation lacks. No one's keeping people accountable as much as they could be. Yeah. And so those are just four things that I see off the top.
So, Aaron, I know you. I've mm-hmm. known you for a while.
Yeah.
One of the benefits that maybe the podcast community doesn't realize about you, you're around a lot of these influence. You're around good, godly men, a lot of wisdom.
Right.
You could walk into any one of our office and sit down, and we will impart those things to you. My dilemma is people in the crowd don't have that.
Right. Yeah.
So how can we, the church, scale that up to those disenfranchised, not to have all the access and favor, because you do have that. Mm. And that's a God's gift to you. Yeah. But I really believe the masses as a whole needs it. But how can they find it?
Yeah.
What was in you to find it? To be around, this was attractive to you, to where you had value-added biblical impartation, discipleship, intentional conversation, and shaping Aaron.
Yeah.
What can we do as a church to scale that up?
Yeah. For me, I mentioned it, I was very intentional. I grew up in this house. I started coming here while I was in fifth grade, so 10 years old about. So I've now been homegrown for 17 years. But I saw what was possible with God from a young age. And I saw when people put faith in God, what it can do, how it can propel people's futures. And also at the same time, there's just this inner desire to know Jesus, to want to see him be glorified in my personal life. And I was intentional to say, hey, I want to get around people who are doing this. Not that no one's perfect, right? But there's this responsibility to say, okay, God has obviously put me in a place to be around great influence all the way around. But I think for the person out there, I think they must come to a place where they say, hey, you know what? I don't want to just live at base level anymore. I got to get a higher vision for what God wants in my life. And I often say this, you know, we are alive for 70, 80, 90 years, and then one day they're going to throw us in the ground 6 feet, cover dirt, and call it a day. But like what? And I think that's the importance. My mind as a person in my 20s, I'm thinking legacy even now. I'm thinking in 40, 50 years, like what will be built, what will be now. And one of my things, I'll wrap this up soon here, but that's why I love young adults and even youth. Like I've been so intentional to be around young people because I think about the 17-year-old, the 21-year-old, the 24-year-old, like what happens when they get a hold of God for who he is for their lives, that now it's not only going to change their personal life, but it's going to change households, lineages, regions, gender. This is so much more further than what is just based on one person. And so for me, I would encourage that person out there to say, hey, you know what? Get around people that are going to bring you up. You know, and I think sometimes it's okay to be called out. You need to be called out on your stuff, but not only just be called out, but realize there's a calling up that people need to get a hold of. And so
that's good.
Well, okay, so stay right there because I'm going to do this real time. I'm going to do this for him because I carry this on me. Let me affirm you in this, Aaron, okay? For everybody listening, this is how it works, okay? I'm an older man. He's a younger man. I know Aaron. I haven't went to dinner with you or anything like that or your family, but I know you enough to impart spiritual value. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to be a great mentor. You're going to be a great discipler, and you're going to change your next gen. Here's why. Because of your heart and that transformation, and all the seeds collectively are going to come to roost in your life, and you're going to be known as a man of value, a man of valor, intentionality, and commitment and passion to build kingdom.
That's good.
That's the affirmation this older man is giving the younger man. Right. Now, how about you outside?
Give me a word. Give me a word, okay. Pastor Joel.
Here's the encouragement to you. I say this. The hope of the world is the church.
Yeah,
that's good. The hope of the world is the church. In God's house, you will find everything necessary to succeed. You will find snippets and things of value outside. But in the house of God, you will find discipleship. You'll find mentorship. You'll find love. You'll find intentionality. You'll find embracing. Like Aaron says, we're not all that. No one's perfect but Jesus. But you will have a value at the table that the world that does not know. And I'm just not going to use Christianese. People out there in your community, in your places of work, in your schools, that table does not exist with the pureness of love and commitment that Christ can give you. Mm-hmm. So if you're online and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know him. If you're not plugged into his church, have no fear. There are many spiritual fathers here that want to love you to life, want to mentor you to health. And I have seen it time and time again. This guy that I mentored for 15 plus years, I seen him here coming to the Rock with a backpack and barefooted.
Yeah.
And now he's changing the world.
Yeah.
That's what the church will produce.
Yep.
I'm an advocate for the house of God.
No one does it,
don't. I want you to come. Easter's coming. Get to the house of God. Easter's on its way. Come, come, come. Find Christ and who let him form you and transform you. And
Pastor Joel, we're going to close. And I want to wrap up. Give me the verse again, Not Many Fathers. What's that verse?
This was in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For you have thousands of teachers and instructors, but not many fathers.
What I want to say is it makes me think of, because a lot of our viewers are older. And the verse trips me out, because if you ever talk to an older person, and it didn't take us very long, you get around someone willing to hear. An older person's going to talk. Why? Because it kind of adds value to us feeling like, man, someone wants to ask me something.
Right.
So when I hear there's not many fathers, I now look at that a little bit differently, like, oh, they're not around. I wonder if, I'm presuming, I'd have to study out the scripture, but I want to throw this out there. I wonder if it just means that maybe not many have made themselves available. Because, again, I said there's a lot of older viewers. Have you put yourself in places to be able to put yourself out there? Because a lot of times we think the younger people don't want anything from us, and we've been offended because they walk around, they call us boomers and unks. And again, they're young, so they say dumb stuff like that. But there are going to be the people like the gentleman we have in this room who are hungry, who do want to ask. And so the challenge to the older, more seasoned people, and I'm putting myself in that category even as a man in his 40s, is can I put myself to be more vulnerable enough to see this scripture where there aren't many fathers in it. And it's not because I'm not around. It's because I haven't made myself vulnerable enough to be in the kingdom to present myself to father someone. Because maybe that scripture isn't saying there aren't older people around. There aren't fathers around. It's, man, be in the space where a young person will want to ask. They'll see that, because what is it? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
And I wonder if that reigns true here.
Practically all we did today is demonstrate, invite them to the table.
That's so good.
We invited them to the table. If you're a dad.
Wow, that's.
If you're a dad, you're a father to become a spiritual father to your family.
And I don't want to leave out the women because they're key in this. And a lot of our viewers are women. And this is huge.
If you're a mom. Make yourself available to mother others.
Yes.
I put it on my calendar this week to sit down with every one of my boys and have dinner and lunch and have conversation. And I'm at the third one now. And every conversation is life-changing.
Yeah.
Because I was intentional about it.
Yeah.
I made room. I invited it to the table. We created space. And I did what God was them. And here's what both of my boys said. I got one more left here locally. There's one in Fresno. I'll probably reach out on the phone. Okay, so they all said, thank you for giving me what I didn't have.
It's good.
I'm making my, if you make yourself available to become a father, you'll be a great father.
Well, I want to pray. For those listening, watching, do this with me as I pray. If you're believing to find a mentor, if you're believing where you feel like, man, I have something to offer that I want to be a mentor. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord God, for my brothers, my sisters in Christ. Lord God, that you would lead them, that you would guide them, Jesus, to identify the people in their lives, Lord God, spiritual mothers and fathers that would pour into them, that would love them, that would help mold them and shape them in the ways of you, Father God. And for those who feel like they have something to offer, Lord God, they're not too old, not too seasoned, Lord, that they have something to give, something to offer. Bring to them, Lord God, a willing vessel, but also give them the courage, Lord God, and the tenacity to identify younger people in their life. Maybe they're their neighbors. Maybe they're the kids that currently bother them. They see them running in the street and they annoy them. But you are saying, hey, I'm putting them across your eyes gate so that you can pour into them and love them. Bless them, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the work that you are doing to build your kingdom and how blessed we are that you use us as vessels. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Rock life. Share, like, comment, subscribe. Man, we love you. Talk to you soon.